Let us pray. O God of love, speak to us now, that we may hear the good news of your salvation. Bring us into the wonder of your presence, fill us with that light, and carry it out with us into our lives. Amen. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. Listen to the word of God. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old.
Please feel welcome to remain seated as we sing the hymns.
Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all ye holy angels. Praise the Lord, all heavenly hosts.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord who commanded, and they were created.
The Lord made them stand fast forever and ever. and gave them a law which shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind, obeying God's will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, rulers and all judges of the world.
Young men and women, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for the name of the Lord is exalted, and the splendor of the Lord is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up for the chosen people praise for all his loyal servants.
The children of Israel,
a people who are near to the Lord. Hallelujah. Our next reading is from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 18. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself was tested by what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested.
And from the Gospel from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. Now after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
There being no children here today, we won't have a children's sermon, but we can let us join now in saying what the children usually lead us in praying, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. God is with us. As our psalm today that we read together says, God's presence is in creation. The shining stars, the sea monsters, creeping things, and winged birds. As one author puts it, all creation echoes the presence of God. And so it is with our suffering. As the Hebrews readings say, God is present with us too to protect us in our suffering, just as God protected Jesus after Herod sought to destroy him. While our suffering can at first seem isolating, being struck by illness, experience the death of a loved one, losing a job, and some may question, where is God? These texts assure us that God is with us in our suffering. We are not alone. Jesus came into a broken, suffering world, accepting the full human condition, becoming our pioneer of salvation made perfect in suffering. As another commenter puts it, Christ embraced suffering, and he now embraces us in ours. For us in community and in other faith communities, our common experience of suffering is also what unites us, and perhaps might empower us. We realize that others have shared in the grief we might experience. We realize we indeed are not alone. And community also is where we build our faith with love and caring toward others. We look out for each other. Episcopal priest and author Barbara Brown Taylor, in her commentary on the readings today, says that one theme present in the readings is God's eagerness for partners in the divine work of redemption. Each of us can help transform ourselves and perhaps make things better for others. In a book called Christian Caregiving, which I read as a deacon, Kenneth Houck, who is the founder of the Stephen Series, a program that trains lay people in caring ministries, talks about the role of one who is ministering or offering help to another. He says Christian caregivers work hard to build relationships with people in need, but we rely on God for the results. He writes that what you are offering is love, because Jesus Christ lives in you. You are God's ambassador. Caring is a process, he continues, like tilling the soil, planting, and cultivating. The cure, or the results of your caring, are in God's hands. You are the caregiver. God is the cure giver. When we send cards in this church to people who might not be able to come to church due to a variety of reasons, people are often touched by the outpouring of our giving and our spirit. In one case, someone told me the cards she receives have healing power and saves her life. God is with us, embracing us in our suffering, and calling us to join in the divine work of redemption. Amen.